This morning's reading is from John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. I'll give you a chance to look it up on your devices. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Some of you might be wondering, what on earth is a sponge ball doing sitting on a chair on top of the stairs here? Well, I've got a volunteer who's going to be using this ball. So, Andrew, if you want to stand by the chair for the moment, I'll tell everyone what's going on. You see, Andrew has gainfully volunteered to throw the ball at my face. Haven't you, Andrew? Yes. So what he's going to do is he's going to be roughly about there. I'm going to be sitting down here, so my face isn't too high for you, so it's a nice easy throw. I'm going to give you three throws to throw it at my face. Does that sound good? Mm-hmm. Okay. So what I'll do is I will say, "Ready, throw," and then you will throw. Okay? Now, do you think you're close enough there, or do you need to come a little closer?
I'm okay.
Okay. Ready, throw. Oh, close. Maybe you want to come a little bit closer. There we go. Okay. Ready, throw. Oh, very close. You definitely hit the head there. So do you want to come a little bit closer to give you more of a chance? Okay. Ready. See, I wasn't ready for that. Let's try that one again. You're very excited about this. Have you been wanting to do this for a long time, or throwing a ball in my face or something? Okay. Are you ready? Okay. Ready, throw. There we go. In the face. Now, wait. I think we can try this again. But I'm going to do something slightly different. So if you stay there, there's your ball. I'm getting some protection. Okay? So I'm going to still be here. Might duck down a little bit. But you've now got to try and hit me in the face while this is in the way. Okay? Do you know what this is? Well, it's actually kind of it's a stair gate or something you have blocking you from getting into the kitchen. So it's a gate to stop you getting in. So I'm using that to protect me. So are you ready? Ready, throw. Okay, that's one. I'm now very glad I moved the vase with the daffodils to the other side of the stairs. Ready? Well, that was the top of my head, but you didn't get my face. Last try. Because it was your third go that you got me in the face last time, so let's see. Okay, are you ready? Ready, throw. Now, do you think the gate protected me? Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. And as a reward, because you did get me in the face once, would you like some Maltesers? Okay, you can take them back. Okay, let's give them a round of applause. Right. Just in case anyone else gets any ideas. Okay. Wow, I didn't think just by sitting down I'd be out of breath, but there we go. So, as I've just shown, gates are very good at protecting us. We see gates used for protection in many different ways. We've got gated communities, garden gates, gates to your front door. If you go out into the countryside, gates in fields, protecting animals. But when Jesus is talking about him being a gate, himself being a gate, he's talking about a very specific type of gate. He's not saying he's a gate into a community, or into a garden, or to your front door, or into a field. Jesus is talking about being a gate to a sheepfold. See, back at that time, they didn't usually have gates, as we would think of it, for the sheepfold. They just had a narrow gap for the sheep to pass through. And when the sheep had passed through the gap, the shepherd would then sit in the gap and be the gate. Now, while this would keep the sheep in the fold, the main intention for the shepherd is being there to protect the sheep from what was outside of the fold. The shepherd stops the wild animals that would eat the sheep from getting inside the fold, and stops sheep rustlers from taking the sheep away. So when Jesus says he's the gate, what he's telling us is that he protects those who follow him, his sheep. Protecting them from what is outside. So we've had the gate is protection. Now we move on to another. Now, I want you to imagine, just for a moment, you're in your bedroom in a building that's very high up. The fire alarm has just gone off and you need to get out. Unfortunately, the lock on your bedroom door has jammed, so the only way out is your window. If you jump out of the window, you could hurt yourself badly, or you could even die. Now, on the ground below, there are five people who are shouting at you. They are all telling you to do different things. But which one will you trust to rescue you? The first person you hear is called Mike. Mike says, "Stay where you are. You will be fine. The fire won't affect you." The second person you hear is called Alice. She says, "Jump. The grass will give you a nice soft landing." The third person is called Eric. He says, "I've got a big fishing net here. Jump and I will catch you." The fourth person is Melissa. And she says, "You can do this. Tie your sheets together and make your own way down." And finally, the fifth person you hear is your dad, who is a firefighter He says, don't worry. Your firefighter dad is here to rescue you, and I am trained to do this. I'm coming to get you and will bring you down to safety. Which person out of Mike, Alice, Eric, Melissa, and your dad would you trust to rescue you? There's only one person who's actually trained for it. There's only one way that you can be rescued. Only your dad can save you, because as a firefighter, he is qualified to rescue people. Now for the bigger question. Who will you trust to rescue you from the effects of your sin and your separation from God? Around us in life, there will be all sorts of people telling us to do different things. But which one will you trust to rescue you? In the fire situation, Mike told you to stay where you were. In the real life situation, people will tell you that it doesn't matter how you live your life. Keep doing what you are doing. Sin doesn't matter, and you don't need rescuing. In the fire situation, Alice told you to jump and you would land safely on the grass. In the real life situation, people will tell you that any religion will rescue you. Just be spiritual and you'll be fine. In the fire situation, Eric told you to jump and he would catch you in his fishing net. Possibly a slightly controversial one, this, but in real life, people will tell you that as long as you were baptized as a baby, you can ignore God for the rest of your life. In the fire situation with Melissa said you could rescue yourself by tying sheets. He was trained to rescue people. In real life, Jesus said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Jesus is able to rescue us from the effects of our sin and separation from God, because he paid for our sin when he laid down his life on the cross. There's only one way to be rescued. That is what Jesus meant when he said he was the gate. So far we've looked at the gate is protection. Certainly stopped Andrew from having a chance of hitting me the second time round. And we've talked about Jesus the gate bringing salvation. The gate saves. And so we're now going to look at a choice of gates. We have choice. Now, today I went to the supermarket to buy a bar of chocolate, and there are so many. I'd hate to think how many different bars of chocolate there are of different varieties. I would certainly say we're talking in the hundreds. And this is just the English bars. Think about if you go to Scotland and all the different... Not Scotland, America. Brain failing there. Think if you go to America and all the different ones there with Reese's and so on. All of the different chocolate bars. We've got so much to choose from. Well, I've got three chocolate bars here. So let's start with this one. A Whisper. Who likes Whisper bars? Well, first hand I saw was there, Jeremy. Okay, next one. The Mars bar. Who likes Mars bars? First hand, Sandy. It's all the guys going for it at the moment. Okay, last one. possibly some people's favourite, the galaxy. Oh, a lady gets it this time.
Thank you.
Beat you all there, gents. Okay, so lots of different chocolate bars, lots of different choices. Question those who've got the chocolate, would you go and choose that particular chocolate bar if that was your, if you're going into the shop and you were out to get a chocolate bar, would that be what you would choose? So, chocolate bars, choice. But it's not just chocolate, we have choice of so many things. So many things we could choose to eat. So many choices of what we could do in our spare time when we aren't working. Others of us might choose to read a book, might choose to play a game on our Xbox or other computer console of choice, join a football team. The possibilities are endless. And every day we face many different choices. Some are actually really important. Some, not so much. However, there is one choice we have to make that affects our lives more than any other. We have to choose which way we are going to live. And we only have a choice of two ways. And it's actually the biggest choice we will ever have to make. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14 say, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." So in Matthew 7, Jesus tells us that we can choose to walk on what he calls the broad road. Or we can choose to walk on what he calls the narrow road. Jesus tells us that to get onto the broad road, you go through a wide gate. And to get onto the narrow road, you go through a narrow gate. Jesus said that lots of people will go through a wide gate. But he said that that wide gate leads to destruction. So it doesn't sound like it's a very good road to walk down, does it? It might look like it's an attractive road. Don't know about you, but I always prefer when I'm driving on motorways to have lots of different lanes because it means that it's so much easier to be driving along. The broad road is an attractive road. And there's going to be lots of people walking on that broad road. But this road leads to destruction. Jesus said that only a few will find the narrow gate. And so not many people will walk on that narrow road. But Jesus said that this road leads to life. It might not look like it's an attractive road, but it is the best road, for it leads to life. Jesus said, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." So we're getting a clue now as to what these two roads in life are. If Jesus is the gate to life, the narrow road must be the road of following Jesus, because the narrow road leads to life. So if the narrow road is the road of following Jesus, the broad road must be the road of not following Jesus, where we do what we want, when we want, ignoring Jesus and what he has done for us. I wonder which road all of us will choose if we haven't chosen already to walk through in our lives. You see, you only have a choice of two. But there's one final thing that we need to remember about the narrow gate. If we choose to take that route, we are choosing to put God at the center of our lives. And this has huge implications for how we live our lives and to where we end up. If we choose the narrow gate, it means that we are called to follow the teachings that Jesus gave to his disciples, to share the gospel and to live our lives according to those teachings. If we choose the narrow gate, it also means that where we end up after this life, where we end up when all of this is over, is set, that we will be with Christ and in his kingdom that has no end, and no one has the power to overcome him. The other week I had a text conversation with a friend, and she brought up the threat of nuclear war, the stuff that's been in the news at the time. And in these current days, we've got a lot of things that we're worried about. We're just coming, hopefully, to the end of COVID. Hopefully, a week tomorrow, we'll have the rules removed, so it's us following guidance and what we think is best. Hopefully, the 2 years of everything that's been going on will be over. And now we've got war on the European continent for the first time since the Second World War in any kind of major way of the major powers. And there's all sorts of concerns and fears from all of these things and more that these bring to us. Whether we're on the other side of the continent from all of it going on, or if we're right in the middle. And there's a lot we can be frightened about in the world right now. But there is something far greater that we need to hold on to. When I replied to my friend, I said simply this: if there is no nuclear war, then Christ is on his throne and those who believe in him are saved by his grace. If there is a nuclear war, Christ is still on his throne and those who believe in him are still saved by his grace. The narrow gate offers us salvation. But it also offers us a chance to be free from the fears of this world as we put our trust in God and know that no matter what happens in this life, our eternal lives are safe and secure with him, and that Jesus is now and forever will be on his throne. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that no matter what happens to us in this life, you remain where you always have been and always will be. Seated on the throne, Christ to the right hand of the Father, glorified above all others. Pray that you help us to remember that in all things, that when we put our trust in you, you hold us secure with you. Amen.